today on Real Radio.
There are no real leaders if they are not followers. Did you know that? You cannot be a leader unless you're a follower. It's impossible. In fact, if you are under the leadership of a leader who cannot follow, then you are under a tyrannical rule.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God to the Rescue, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today as we continue through the book of Isaiah. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so that he could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 9, we learned how God loves us unconditionally and that his desire is to lead us towards perfection and completion. But even though God is love, he's still both mighty and powerful. And when he returns, he will right all wrongs and all things will be made perfect as he is perfect. Now in Isaiah chapter 10, we'll see that even when things look hopeless, God is always on time in coming to the rescue. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God weaves hope into the darkest of situations. Our tendency, of course, is to be depressed or sad when things go wrong, but we have Jesus to fulfill the promises of Isaiah's time. Disaster will come to those leaders, nations, and powers that bring corruption and poverty to its people. And now in his lesson called God to the Rescue, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 10. God's timing is awesome and amazing. Someone said a long time ago, God's never early. And he's never late. He's always on time. So grab your Bibles tonight, Isaiah chapter 10, and it's an awesome, amazing chapter. I have to tell you, about 4 days ago, I thought we were in Isaiah chapter 11, and I was reading it and studying. I got so excited, and then I had this tinge of doubt in my mind. Wait a minute, I don't remember chapter 10. I went back, and I realized we didn't do chapter 10 yet. We had just finished chapter 9 recently. And you go from the highs of chapter 11. Don't go there. It's awesome. And then you come to chapter 10 and you look at it and you have a tendency to get kind of bummed because it's pretty intense. But then when you start to unpack God's Bible, God's Word, when you're studying, you begin to take out portions and focus on words and their original meaning and what happened where and this was going on then. As you begin to unpack sometimes what might look like the darkest moment, the God of the Bible has seen to it that he's woven hope in the darkest moment. And my heart's buoyant tonight because I believe that as this nation is in a dark hour, God is weaving hope. Maybe it's your life. He's weaving hope right now. He's always wanting to do that. He's the God of hope. And the tendency when you and I as Christians look at the world around us, we have a tendency to maybe sink down and get depressed or get sad. But God has woven hope. And so tonight's message is entitled God to the Rescue. God to the Rescue. Sounds like an action figure type of title. Batman to the rescue. Spider-Man to the rescue. We have action figures in life to make us feel better, to entertain us, and to somehow have this little bit of, wouldn't it be nice if we had a Spider-Man? We don't need a Spider-Man. We have the God-Man. We've got Jesus. And why settle for Iron Man when you can have the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the action figure. He's the one that comes to the rescue. And so tonight, as we look in our study, we'll just have this one point tonight because it is so powerful to carry us through if we're able to all 34 verses. But it's this, God to the rescue, even when things look hopeless, okay? Will you write that down, please? even when things look hopeless. And as we look at this chapter, keep in mind, everybody, as you've been marching through this study together, that the book of Isaiah, like any prophetic book of the Bible, specifically of the Old Testament, there's what's called the near and far fulfillment. In the day of the prophet, there are times when God would have a fulfillment that looks like the ultimate fulfillment take place in the time of the prophet. But then there's a deeper or the far fulfillment that will culminate in the end of the age. So when you look at this, I need all of you Bible scholars and students and lovers of the word to mark this down in your notes, that what we're looking at, there will be a near fulfillment in Isaiah's day. But there are those clear statements and elements of the ultimate fulfillment, a time yet future. Here's the amazing thing. In Isaiah chapter 10, we're going to be looking at things that in Isaiah's day was way out in the future. You and I are living at a time when that stage has already been set, and you and I are at a place. And I'm not saying this because I'm living at this moment in this time zone. But you'll see that we're living at a time when what Isaiah prophesied could very well happen in our day. It's pretty amazing. So Isaiah chapter 10, follow along with me as we just begin to walk through this. Verse 1 now, he says, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people." First thing I want you to mark down is those four words, woe to those who. Will you mark that down? Woe to those who, and we'll talk about the who's in a minute. But as the chapter begins, there's a very serious indictment that God gives to the nations. Watch this. It's not only the nations, as we'll see, of the world. It's the nations geographically around Israel. But listen, it's the leaders even of Israel and Judah who are corrupt at the time. So it's a very, very broad statement. But as we walk through this, you will see when God will specifically point to certain things. He says, woe. Woe. The word woe is a great lamentation. When God says through the prophets to us, woe. This is not like, whoa. This is, in fact, the New Testament word that Jesus used for woe. Remember in the Gospels, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. The word is uai, not Hawaii, but uai. And it means damned or cursed are you, or condemned you are. You're condemned, or it's something that is damned. It's over. Why? Because God knows where they're coming from. He knows their theology. He knows their hearts. He knows their minds. When Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, he's saying, you're condemned. Wow, isn't that amazing? Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? There's no hope at that moment. Over, it's done. God says that. You and I cannot say that. No human on earth can ever say that. No one's got that sovereignty. No one's got that perfection, that place, but God. And he says, woe to those who. And so first of all, those who are in the place of, as we'll see, leaders, leadership. Woe to the leaders. Woe to nations. Woe to powers. No matter what capacity, think about it, or to what degree. God holds a leader of people, a ruler or a nation's leader, in our case, a president and his cabinet and the government, responsible. Are you a boss at a company? God holds you responsible. Did you know that? Do you have any position of authority at all? God holds you and I responsible. That's terrifying. That should make you sick. That should cause a real leader. Listen, there are no real leaders if they are not followers. Did you know that? You cannot be a leader unless you're a follower. It's It's impossible. In fact, if you are under the leadership of a leader who cannot follow, then you are under a tyrannical rule. Think that through for a moment. Because to have someone who's not answerable or accountable, you have a tyrant in your midst. And a tyrannical act that person will do. As it were, a king will rise up. Have you ever been to England? Have you ever been to the Tower of London? If you disagreed with the king or the queen, what happened to you? Your head was cut off. That's tyrannical. When a power is no longer answerable to anybody, woe to those, God says. He holds them accountable. And listen, he's going to judge all who have influence, good or bad. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says in the NIV version, Romans 16, 17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions. Notice, that takes influence to cause division. And put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned, keep away from them. Do you know anybody who caused divisions among God's people? Listen, they are taking influence that is theirs and they use it wrongly and God will hold them accountable. Imagine great powers. Imagine great leaders. So here's the reason why there's the woe unto them. Why are they condemned? Because it goes on in verse 1 to say, because they decree unrighteous decrees. Circle the word unrighteous. They decree against God himself. This is how God views it. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees. It's not bad decrees. Woe to those who are influenced and in power who make stupid decisions. He's not saying that it's just stupid decisions are bad enough. They are unrighteous decisions. You see, what does that mean? And this is where it gets really personal for us right now as a people, as a culture, as citizens, as Christians. Woe unto those who make decisions against the God of heaven. Listen, when you make an unrighteous decree, it's not just a dumb decree. It's not that it's a bad decree. It is an unrighteous decree. And God sees it. They throw it up into his face and he sees it. God does. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees. The word decree here means, listen to this. It means laws or rules that are cut into stone. Listen how graphic this is. The word kakauk in Hebrew, to cut into the stone or metal, like in primitive times, to etch. It means to hack away, watch, to hack away at or etch away that which was, and to engrave or to etch or to prescribe something or to impose now something on top of what was. Is that graphic or what? What was there, like the eternal truths of God? Are you sitting down, everybody? I'm gonna freak you out in a second. Are you ready? Are you guys okay tonight? You're so quiet. There are laws that transcend human laws. Jefferson called those the laws of nature's God. The laws of nature. Remember, I said this a few weeks ago. No human being and no government on earth can make a law that violates the laws of nature. It's impossible. Why? Because there's a courtroom in heaven with a judge and a designer who decrees it so, and that is God. And when people try to rule unrighteous decrees in attempt like Nimrod, they're trying to shoot God down out of the heavens by their decision-making. God says, I'm watching you. I'm watching you take eternal truths and scratch them out and write something over that, a new decree that you make. Wow. Right now, today, in our America, there's a movement to take down the granite engravings at the Lincoln Memorial. There's a movement right now in the last 2 weeks in Washington, D.C. to at least shut down so no visitors can go to it, but eventually tear down the Jefferson Memorial because Jefferson owned slaves. That's just the blanket statement. Jefferson owned slaves, tear down his monument. Yeah, listen, you ought to tonight learn about Jefferson. Listen. In Rome at the Colosseum, there is a bust of Nero. And they've got all of the emperors of Rome there at the Colosseum as you walk through, and they're all there. They all got their names and they all have their faces. Amazing, by the way, amazing, exactness and work. It's just amazing. And then you come to one face. Have you been there? There's one face that's been completely removed. They've sanded his face off because they hated him so much. They carved the face of Nero off. Carving his face off does not erase him from history. Everybody knows Nero. God says, this is what I've decreed. And there are those who are deluded in what is called megalomania. Delusions of grandeur of themselves. It's a psychological disorder. It's a sickness. I believe it can even traffic with demonic possession, where a person elevates. Adolf Hitler, perfect example. A megalomaniac, demon-possessed, begins to make unrighteous decrees, and the God of heaven watches and looks. And his desire was to eradicate the Jewish people, homosexuals, and non-Aryans, white supremacy on steroids, Adolf Hitler. Genetic engineering, eugenics. Where's Hitler tonight? He's gone, man. He offended the God of heaven. He tried to establish what is called the Third Reich, right? The new millennium, the third millennium by Adolf Hitler. The third millennium by Adolf Hitler. Coming to your world soon. And he died like a rat in a hole committing suicide. Why? He decreed unrighteous decrees. He tried to etch away what God had decreed to be true. This is a warning. And the word unrighteous is aven. The word means to exert, plot, scheme, to end in destruction, or to bring yourself in your plot to nothingness. It means to bring trouble upon your own head. So note this. He's saying, woe to those who decree, you cut away the ancient truth, you do your own new thing, and in doing that, you absolutely set the course for yourself to be completely destroyed. Is this not graphic, ladies and gentlemen? We're reading a 3,000-year-old prophecy as though it was today's news in the New York Times. Notice, he goes on, follow along with me, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed. Notice, the people have no voice. The rulers are the ones who set the rule. The word misfortune means this, to work mischief, to create sorrow, to bring in trouble, or to weary people. And the word prescribed means to place unders under a load, or to place others under a rule, a burdensome load to carry. Does that not sound like a godless, massive government machine type of world? Tyrannical, like a lord or a king, an evil king. And they say this, you know, you guys, look, I'm graduated from school. You know that there were the periods in European history, for example, most of it's still going on in the Middle East, where they work almost, you know, every hour of the day to pay taxes or tribute to the king. And they have no life. They're slaves of a nation or slaves of a throne. God hates that. Absolutely despises that. So listen. Oh, this is going to get you going. When you look at your freedoms right now that theoretically you have, you theoretically have the freedom of speech, which you really don't, not anymore, but it's on paper. But I warn you, if you exercise it, you can get in big trouble. Can a law be made to really stop you from saying whatever you want to say? Think now. Can a law be made to actually stop you from saying what you want to say? You're quiet and you should be. You're confused. I can feel it. Because you're right now torn between nature's God giving you the freedom and the laws of the land of men, aren't you? Did you know a Christian is one who obeys God rather than man? Now, so you think about that for a second. See, this is like, wow, okay, yikes, that's heavy. Yes, it is heavy. Very heavy. It's nothing new to the Christian church in the world, but it's heavy. Here's a wingdinger. Can a government make a law that will keep you, prevent you from protecting your children? They can make a law, but can it even be truly, honestly enforced? Can someone really make a law that would prevent you from defending your child or your husband or your wife? It's impossible. Did you know that? I want everybody to get this. Oh, listen, there's some political science majors in this room right now that are about ready to have a heart attack. And yet what I'm speaking is 100% truth. You can make a law that says you cannot defend yourself, but God placed a law within you as a person made in his image that you will violate that earthly law in 1 second if somebody came and tried to molest your two-year-old. You would kill that individual, and God and heaven would applaud you in that moment. Literally. In fact, Jesus said, if you hurt one of these little ones, it would have been better for you to have never been born by the time I get done with you in the day of judgment. That is awesome.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God to the Rescue, Part 1. We're glad you took the time to spend some time with us today. And as it was in the days of Isaiah, only the Lord is our rescuer and Savior. God to the Rescue, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you haven't had a chance to watch Pastor Jack's Happening Now events, you really are missing out. This series brings God's prophetic word into perspective for us in the light of events that are currently happening in our world today. Pastor Jack is often joined by special guest speakers, including Amir Safati and Don Stewart. Amir lives in Israel but speaks all over the world on biblical prophecy as it relates to Israel. Don Stewart is an expert on end times prophecy and has written many books about the subject. Again, it's called Happening Now, and a lot of our previous sessions are available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or search Real Life with Jack Hibbs on YouTube and find them right there. Also, be sure to follow Pastor Jack on Facebook so that you can participate in the next live Happening Now event. Did you know that Pastor Jack is very much active on social media? So, if you'd like a free and convenient way to help support this ministry, or if you're just interested in what Pastor Jack has to say on current events, be sure to check out his Facebook page, Instagram, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. For more Pastor Jack and to help support this ministry, follow Pastor Jack on social media. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.